Now, it was only a handful of years ago that many of us were putting a bucket in the shower so we wouldn't waste any water. We were even dobbing in the neighbours for watering the garden on the wrong days or washing the car on the wrong days, all that sort of stuff. But with some of the wettest winters in years in parts of Australia, not all of Australia, I'm aware of that, because of that, those wet winters, we've relaxed a little. The water crisis has fallen off the radar, you could say. But experts are predicting a new crisis. Australians use more water per capita than anyone in the world, which would surprise a lot of us, I think. And with increasing population, water security is fast becoming one of the most critical environmental issues that the world and Australia is facing. David Lambert from Australasia is a water management engineer, and he worked on a study looking at the future of water management and says there's a few things that we should be doing it. Daniel, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Cameron.
Let's talk about this report first. It points to a fairly dire global situation within the next 20 years.
Yeah, I think we face a lot of challenges in the water industry moving forward, and it's important to plan for the future rather than be reactive like some would argue we were with the introduction of desalination plants in Australia in the last few years.
Mm. So how serious is Australia's water scarcity problem?
Well, if you look at climate change, for example, a lot of people are predicting that in the future we'll see the regularity of floods and droughts in Australia increasing to the point where they're almost triple the regularity that they're currently occurring. So major floods at the moment occur once every 17 years, and some are predicting that in future there'll be one every 6 years. And if you think about that from a rural context, that will have major implications on farmers throughout Australia.
Mm, but what does it mean for our availability of water?
Well, major drought. So we're likely to see periods of major droughts and periods of major floods. So in terms of scarcity in those periods, it'll make it very difficult to manage with the agricultural sector because there'll be significant scarcity.
Mm. So does that scenario, does that support the argument for more dams, bigger storages, so we catch the floods when they occur, we've got the water when it's dry?
I think it does. And I think it also, the argument for dams moving forward is that there is going to be increased demand for food in the future, not just in Australia, but in Asia. And we've heard a lot of talk in recent times in the political realm about Australia positioning itself as a food bowl for Asia, but it is likely to become a reality as we look at the significant population increase up there and the fact they don't have the land to produce the crops required.
Mm. Okay, so the demand for food means more water needed for agriculture. That's the argument, is it?
That's right. Mm. And it will also mean an increase in the price of food, which will help with the viability of farmers in Australia surviving and making a livelihood out of the agricultural industry.
Okay, so how do we go about it? If you've got a farming sector that needs more water to produce more food for growing population, where do we get the water from?
Well, as we talked about, there's plans for more dams. There's been a lot of work looking at water efficiency. So in Victoria and New South Wales, for example, there's been a lot of measures introduced over the last few years to line channels and also to transition some of them from open channels to piped. And that's had a major impact in terms of losses through seepage and also evaporation. And also it's to do with water management, looking at what are the right crops in the right areas for Australia, what are the right types of stock that we should be running, and what can be economically viable.
Is there evidence that we are growing the wrong things in the wrong places and running the wrong stock in the wrong places at the moment?
Well, there's definitely arguments for it. So you look at things like growing rice, and it's very water intensive. And places like Asia where there's much higher rainfall, it makes more sense for those types of crops to be grown there rather than in Australia.
You're hearing here from Daniel Lambert from Australasia. It's a water engineer and the author of a report, The Future of Urban Water. It's a study looking at water management in Australia and around the world. Now, Les Gordon's also with me. Les is the president of the Rice Growers Association. How are you, Les?
Well, thank you.
What do you make of what you've heard there from Daniel?
Of course, I would beg to differ. I think he's probably wrong on a whole range of fronts. Certainly, he's right around water efficiency, but water efficiency is only part of it. And that's been an ongoing focus of ours for 20 or 30 years, certainly the whole time I've been rice farming. But it's not just about more efficient delivery of water. Let's split that into two parts in the first instance. Okay, so the first part's about the efficient delivery of water, and that's using the existing gravity system. You talked about channel lining and what have you. That's certainly one aspect you can approach.
Okay, and so that's using pipes instead of open channels, that sort of thing.
No, they're still using open channels, but making sure that they're lined so there's no seepage and that they are reasonably fast moving to minimise evaporation losses. Mm-hmm. Because the minute you go to pipe systems then, you also have a significant energy component. Electricity's got dearer and dearer, diesel's not cheap. So while it might be water efficient, it's not necessarily energy efficient. In fact, they're certainly not energy efficient. So if you start to take a broader efficiency perspective, it might be water efficient, but is it fully system efficient?
So here's your conundrum. How do you balance those competing needs?
Absolutely. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect then is, okay, what can you produce with that water? And he started to go to that point as well. Yeah, and let me use rice as the example, obviously, because I am president of the Rice Growers Association. The rice that we produce is a temperate variety of rice. It's high yielding, it's high quality, can't replicate it in Asia. Asia produces all the rice it can under the existing circumstances. A lot of money going into research and development for both temperate production systems and tropical production systems, because the important part there is water to us is A, one of our most significant costs, and B, it is one of our most significant limiting factors in terms of production. The more rice that we can produce per megalitre, the better. So you approach it from two directions. One is minimising water use, so shorter season varieties, different management techniques, those sorts of approaches. A lot of work being done growing rice under sprays, but once again, you come to that broader efficiency conundrum that we talked about earlier.
Okay, but you fundamentally disagree with an argument that Asia can produce rice more water efficiently than Australia?
No, it's a different production system, and they can produce more rice, but they need to also do a lot of varietal development, the same as we do, same as we continue to do, and that's there's a lot of international research and national research going into doing that. Now, the other trick that you need to be sort of a little bit wary of is this whole food bowl to Asia equation. I mean, depending on whose figures you use, currently Australia produces enough feed to feed somewhere between 40 and 80 million people. Now, even if we doubled our production, you only get to 80 to, say, 150 million people, and there's cities and countries in Asia that are as big as that. So even if we doubled our production, and we're not going to do that anytime soon, the ability for us to feed all of Asia is a bit of a... It's unlikely to happen. So you then start to say, well, what can we do? What we can do is we can focus on producing high-quality, value-added meals that will sustain our system, that we can produce economically, that will feed people, because that's what we do best. And that's certainly the focus, particularly in the rice industry. But in agriculture generally, it's really about focusing on that quality end of the market where the real value add is.
Daniel, if I can come back to you, what do you make of that argument that it's not as simple as just looking at the water resource and how water intensive a given crop is, that there's a suite of considerations that any farmer, Australian farmer, has to keep in mind?
No, I agree with a lot of Les's comments, actually, and my comment about Australia becoming a food bowl for Asia wasn't about implying that Australia can supply all of Asia. It's about the fact there's an opportunity for us to increase our production and that we're on the doorstep of Asia, so it will become a real economy for us that will continue to grow. And I think that in terms of looking at the types of crops, in terms of looking at the types of irrigation measures, in terms of looking at energy, they all fit into... they're all considerations that need to be considered in order to come up with solutions. One of the things that Les mentioned, which I did think was a good comment, was the focus that we're starting to have in Australia on those high-value quality crops, and also in terms of livestock as well, is Australia has the opportunity to produce high quality, which we can get maximum return from when we export it into Asia and also when we sell it within the Australian market.
Okay, we've focused a lot, Daniel, on agriculture so far, but what about our big cities, you know, your Brisbane's, Sydney's, Melbourne's? Do we need to have a rethink there on how water is used and how water is recycled in the cities?
We do, and obviously a lot of our report considered those options, and we looked at four different scenarios for the future, And we worked with, in this particular study, we worked with Sydney Water to look at what they might look like and therefore what challenges and opportunities the urban water industry faced moving forward. And water recycling is one of those key considerations. In most of our cities at the moment, we have largely centralised systems, so major water treatment plants, major desalination plants. But there's also an opportunity for smaller decentralised systems in certain parts of those cities which can be run cost-effectively. And with a number of those, we're looking at water reuse as an alternative, so black water and grey water reuse within those particular developments.
All right. Daniel, nice chatting with you. Interesting report. We'll make sure we link through to it on the Bush Telegraph webpage. Thanks so much for coming today. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks, Cameron.
Daniel Lambert from Orup Australasia, one of the authors of The Future of Urban Water. And Les, thanks to you for joining us today as well. Les Gordon, who is president of the Rice Growers Association.